Welcome to the 33rd episode of
Ponies, Puppies, Peonies, and Pick-Me-Ups,
a podcast about a married couple
working to live more sustainably on a horse farm
without getting terribly snarky with one another.
Indeed. Hello, everybody. we haven't done the podcast for a while. We thought, we were looking back at what had been posted. We thought that our last one was like in July, and then I realized as I was looking through the ones we had saved, we had actually done one in September and had it ready to post, and I forgot to post it. So my apologies.
Yeah.
I will post it along with this one right after this.
So it'll be back to back. It'll be 32 and 33 will be back to back.
From September and then February.
Yeah, so let's see. There's a lot to chat about. One of the things that I wanted to mention is my father and Kevin went to Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah, that was during, it was on Veterans Day on the 11th of November. He was playing up in Pittsburgh, and I had gotten tickets when they went on sale. We had seen the Rolling Stones, and so it's just an opportunity to see at least one of the Beatles. It was a great concert. It was at PPG Arena, the hockey arena in Pittsburgh. We the floor seats were super expensive, so we got like up in the peanut gallery. Still a great concert. They had video walls, so even if you couldn't see him directly all the time, but he played all the great hits, at least the ones that he was associated with the Beatles, and some really, I think he played some of John's songs. George, I don't know about Ringo, had a few, but and then some of the stuff he did with Wings and solo. But he played Hey Jude, it was fantastic. Live and Let Die, a lot of the Beatles songs, really, really fun. I mean, it's amazing, just like with the Rolling Stones, they're both the whole band, at least the Stones, and then in McCartney's case, they're all above 80, and it's like they're playing entire freaking shows like nonstop, and then make it. I mean, it's entertaining, so pretty impressive. And I'm 53, and I'm like just trying to get through to the next day.
We're like, can we take a nap today? Anyways, the other thing. Speaking of napping, the reason why I still need, I feel the need to have a nap is because I am a year later, still getting up at 3 a.m. to get to the office. And I don't care what anyone says. There's no adjusting to 3 a.m. I've been doing it for a year and it's still kicking my butt every single week that I do it. So that's kind of the bummer of the situation. The other thing that I wanted to kind of recap from the last episode that you'll hear, when we post it this time around, is in September when we did the last podcast, I mentioned that we still hadn't riffed
the agency. For folks outside the government, that's reduction in force, essentially laying people off.
And I wasn't really sure what was going to happen. Well, I found out what was going to happen. Spoiler alert. We did, in fact, do a reduction in force.
This was like after the budget didn't. There was no budget, so they went into a shutdown.
However, caveat.
In October.
Caveat, the agency I work for is a fee-for-service organization. We do not take appropriations, but we still execute according to the federal government. So we did do a reduction in force that actually ended up having a subsequent bump and retreat exercise, which is completely soul-sucking.
But you fortunately avoided the reduction. That's one of the things we were waiting to see if you might get caught up in that.
Yeah, I didn't actually get caught up on it. I just had a lot of impacts from it. And then when the CR got passed, we brought everyone back. And we brought them back to meaningful work because,
quote unquote,
their positions, not necessarily the positions, but the functions had been deemed non-essential. So we were creating new meaningful work around things like cloud, AI, stuff like that for them. And we're still working through that process. Not sure what's next on the radar. It's kind of vague at this point in time. But I do realize I still am getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and there is no end in sight. So.
And I am getting up with you now and
helping. Yes, you are.
And then going back to bed before my day starts.
I know, but I appreciate it. I truly, truly appreciate the fact that you are getting up with me at 3 because that's not cool.
But I'm going to have to start with my job now, the position, the contract I'm supporting. I'm going to have to start going in to the office as well. So I'll just be getting up and going in when you go in.
Yeah, and, you know, it is also on that front, it is subarctic here in Loudoun County, Virginia.
We got the snowstorm came in a couple weeks ago, and it's been below freezing since, and a couple days warmed up, so some melted a little bit, but just like a sheet of ice on top of the snow.
And for those of you that realize this is a kind of a farm podcast, we do not have automatic horse waters in our paddock. It's something that we would like to get in place, but you know, there's always some sort of big bill that pops up and that seems to get pushed by the wayside because it includes having to, you know, put down water lines and make sure they're deep enough past the frost line and so on and so forth. So before the frost, it was okay because I was able to use the spigots up top and we can still use the spigots, but it's still a long walk down to the paddocks.
Well, some of those freeze up even when they're built below the frost line.
So
it's super cold.
So Kevin's definitely helping me by lugging big water buckets out to the paddocks, and then we're trying to navigate frozen water buckets as much as we can.
Yeah, so when it's super cold, the buckets that the horses drink from overnight freeze up. And
yeah. So this is kind of like, this is kind of goes into the ponies part, which is ponies, puppies, peonies, and pick-me-ups. The pony part is if you have ever thought about having farm animals, ever, you need to make sure that you are okay with getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, slugging yourself through knee-deep snow, and then ice, and then having to deal with mucking stalls, and snow removal, and ice removal, and all kinds of
especially
fun things.
Like if you live north of
definitely we don't normally get this weather for as long of a period of time as we have but this year has been brutal and it's cold
for a long time,
really cold, and it's not thawing out. So on the ponies front, so we had actually talked about in the last one about James's leg and his annular ligament and that we're rehabbing him from that,
and
he healed up. And then, interestingly enough, with this snow and ice, we turned him out, and some of the ice must have cut some of his skin on it, around his hoof and his cornet band. And he got lymphangitis or cellulitis or something. But we've managed, knock on wood, which I need to, get that under control right now. But he's in a bandage. He's on antibiotics. He gets...
It just gets like bacteria and it gets infected and swollen. Yeah. So you have to get all that under control.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's a question I get a lot for people that aren't familiar with horses. Like when it's super cold, can horses go out? And
they can.
They can. I mean, I've learned this as well. Is like, especially when horses have their winter coats on, they're just like big yaks. They just have a thick coat and they can navigate the cold quite well. But then you still, like when the top layer of snow is ice, it's like they're having to crunch through it.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful because they can slip as well. But also, like we will shave Guinness because he gets so hot. So when it warms up, we don't want him to overheat, so he has to have blankets on to keep him warm. And the other horses have blankets on as well when it's super cold.
So, I mean, I came from mostly show barns up in Massachusetts, and our horses were always well blanketed. We didn't turn out a lot in bad weather because we couldn't afford to have horses injure themselves. Down here in Virginia, there's barns like that, but they tend to turn out a little bit more than they did up in Massachusetts. Right now, I lost front shoes on Gigi with the mud and the crap.
Yeah, back
so,
in the summer.
So I just decided to pull her front shoes. And then James had front shoes and Guinness has four shoes. James decided in this last snowstorm to pull off both front shoes. And I was just like, well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens to your feet by the time the farrier comes again.
And so he's all, he doesn't, we just, he just essentially gets a manicure.
Yeah, right now.
Pedicure.
So, pedicure, yes.
So does Gigi.
Yeah, so right now that's them. The other thing that is different is that we had our back neighbors who are amazing. They had
I can't remember if we talked about it in September. We got new neighbors August timeframe, and they're fantastic.
We love them. Yeah, they're fantastic.
And gone out to dinner with all of our neighbors in the subdivision.
Yeah,
and it's quite nice.
Yeah, it is. It's harmonious.
Yeah.
So she had a mini that was babysitting a friend's horse that was older and not well, and that
and a mini is just like a small pony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
up to your hip.
Exactly. And so basically, that horse it was babysitting needed to be put to sleep, unfortunately. And so they hadn't quite built a barn up in our back neighbor's property yet for the minis. So they asked if we could actually house the mini for a little bit until their barn and paddock was built, which was great. And so we did. And then
we had built those two pet yards outside the house, mm-hmm. and it was perfect. They were just two small paddocks.
Yeah, so we didn't integrate Gigi with Miso. Because, you know, we knew that they weren't going to be staying here long, although very welcome to have stayed here forever.
They were side by side in paddocks, but not in the same paddock.
And then we realized how much Gigi enjoyed having a friend. And so Gigi hasn't had a friend in a paddock in quite some time. We had been turning her out with Risa before Risa got sick and, you know, imploded. Risa wasn't one to care whether or not she had friends. My other horse, Peaches, was the same way. She didn't really care about having friends. And I kind of had hoped Gigi was going to channel those two. That is not the case. Gigi likes friends.
Yeah.
And it became very apparent how much she enjoyed having a little mini friend. So when Miso went up to her new abode, Gigi definitely seemed depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's noticeable.
It was noticeably depressed. So I put feelers out and to my friend Lily, and I said, hey, if you heard anyone that has a mini that's cheap or free, that's a mare, please let me know, because I would like to get somebody for Gigi. And Lily came back with, my two are out on loan, but I would love for you to have Truffles. And with Truffles comes Twinkie. So
the Minnie's name is Fancy Truffles.
It is indeed. We call her Truffles. Kevin sometimes calls her Fancy. And her little baby is named Twinkie. And he's very cute. He's a Palomino.
He looks like a Twinkie, same color.
Yeah, and he kind of looks like he should be Gigi's baby.
And what is the name of his father?
His father is Tyrion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Fascinating.
Yes, fascinating. So, so
what's the purpose of minis? Like historically, like what did they do?
I don't know. They're cute.
Did they did they ride or did they teach younger kids on minis?
I mean, you can, I guess. I don't know what their purpose is other than being cute and mischievous.
Did they haul anything? Or?
I don't know. I was not a mini.
I can't figure out the historic purpose of minis, and I haven't looked it up.
I'm sure there is, but they're super cute and
circuses.
They were a little feral when we got them. They had been kind of kicked out for a year.
Yeah, so there's a case where they didn't have blankets.
Yeah,
and so when it got cold, they're relying on their natural coat.
Not anymore.
Winter coat.
Now they're in Chateau St. Cox over here and Flex Blue Moon Farm and. They have blankets on and they go in a stall and they get their hay and they're cute. But we do have muzzles for them. So when it gets a little warmer and the grass starts coming up, they will have to significantly be muzzled or put into smaller
paddocks.
And
we do that because they are a good bit overweight.
Yeah, they are.
Imagine a little pony that's a little bit roly-poly.
Yeah, exactly. So
they won't be in muzzles forever.
No, but they're cute. The other thing that we had done was I had some chiropractic work done on Gigi because she's just not right. And while we were doing it, it was our third chiropractic session, and the vet mentioned her muscles respond weird. So we ended up doing the PSSM test on her, which is the polysaccharide storage myopathy. It's an inherited muscle disease in horses that causes the abnormal accumulation of glycogen sugar in muscle cells. That first test, which is a hair sample, came back negative.
Yeah.
So that's positive, although the other two types of PSSM, you have to do a muscle biopsy for, which is more invasive. She's also gone back to doing that weird chewing thing. I swear to God, it's because she eats prickers, but one can't tell. And yeah, she can chew her food. She can chew her hay. She has trouble chewing cookies.
She and Guinness do that. They will eat like rose bush.
Rose hip.
With thorns on them.
Yeah,
and then
just crazy.
Thorns get caught in their gums.
But she seemed, I was ready to send her for a CAT scan, and she started chewing normal the other day. So I'm going to give it a little bit longer and see what happens. But she's a weird horse. We'll figure out something. But in the spring, I need to like just ride her and figure out what's wrong with her and go from there.
Yeah.
Lisa, the one that actually trains her. It looks like my friend Jen from up north is going to be sending her 3-year-old to Lisa to be back. So that'll be fun because I'll get to go and hang out.
Jen came down
from Massachusetts
ahead of the holidays.
Yeah, and that was fun.
To see her, yeah.
So it will be like Lisa's place is like maybe 5-10 minutes from my house. Maybe. I think 10's being too much. It's probably 5 minutes from my house. So that will be a good spot for Jen. She can just come here and hang out and go down and ride her horse or see how her progress is. Puppies, you want to dive in here?
Yeah. So last episode you'll hear when we post September, is we ended up getting Zelly on Prozac. And it's fluoxetine, I think it is.
3 months.
You have to keep her on for 3 months just to see how it will behave. You can't just try it one day. And it seemed to take the edge off. So we've kept her on, and it has helped. She still flips out when delivery people come down for whatever reason. So if we can get in front of delivery people arriving, we can get her inside and in her kennel, and everything's fine. But otherwise, good. We actually are thinking about talking to the vet about getting the same for Aria. Aria is a little high strung lately. I think she's just a little jealous.
Yeah, I think she's just, you know, her nature is she's a little bit like, I think we've mentioned she licks a lot, and she's just a little
kind of frantic.
She's like kind of on edge all the time, unless she's sleeping. But it's one or the other. So we're thinking about maybe it might help her just relax a little bit.
Yeah. And then Wicket is still kicking, still periodically barks at night and drives Kelly crazy because Kelly needs
you think it's
sleep.
So funny.
I don't. Anyhow.
He's laughing. It's not
so
funny.
So we had talked about like he's losing his senses, his like eyesight, and he still can smell pretty good, but eyesight and hearing. So we'll periodically run into things. And so kind of have to watch I put him down the stairs so he doesn't have to navigate the stairs down the back porch. But now he was borderline starting to have some retention issues. What's the right word?
He liked to go into
the bathroom in the house.
Yeah, he would defecate in the house.
No, not just defecate. Like,
yeah, pee.
Yeah, pee.
Marked.
Yeah.
Like he was, so he was not housebroken when we got him.
He was, but he was not always disciplined to housebroken. Anyhow, we ended up getting him
housebroken
diapers. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
we got him housebroken.
I got him housebroken.
Yeah,
and
now
because
and it was
it's
good.
Cold
he was
and
good.
He doesn't want to go outside because it's cold, he just pees in the house.
He's a little dog
he's
and he's
a jerk.
Got sensitive little
We don't
pee.
Like him. He's
Anyhow,
mean. He's mean to me.
He's
he
not.
Tortures
he loves,
me.
He loves Kelly. Anyhow, so we got him. We initially got him diapers, and that just was not working too well. So we got him male wraps, so essentially like belly bands, and they work. So yeah. They're called the ones we get off of Amazon are called Honey Care, and like it catches, like if he has to pee, it catches it, and then yeah. We still put him outside, but.
Yeah, but he tends we'll to get goes him. Outside, then he comes in pees.
But he's on, got his diaper in.
Yeah,
he does. And once it warms up, it will be less necessary. But from here on out, we're going to have him on because he's just getting to the point that he needs diapers. So that's Wicket.
You guys just got an inside visibility into our life with Wicket.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is Wicket, who I thought was only going to be alive for 3 more months, yes. And now it's 3.5 years later.
Yeah, uh-huh. In pure torture for three for all those years.
He's such a sweet angel.
Oh, gosh.
And then you, your parents had dogs. They always had dogs, and then you ended up getting them a Christmas present.
I did. Well, they found him.
Yeah.
And then it was the perfect opportunity for me to... get a Christmas gift for them that was meaningful and that they would love for a long time to come. So they went out, they found him, and he is a Jack Russell Shorty. His name is Jackson. And Busby's Jack Russells in Texas were his breeders. So they are very excited. They flew out to Texas. They picked him up. And now they're going through all the fun puppy stuff with him.
He's not
going
to get much bigger than he is, right?
Oh, my God. He's so cute and little. Yeah. He'll get a little bigger. He'll probably be about 10 to... He'll probably be about 15 to 18 pounds.
What is he now? About 5?
I don't know. I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So that's our dogs. And Elvis is doing fine.
Yeah. Elvis is Elvis. And the others are all fine.
Peonies. Well, we said we're in an ice age right now, so... There isn't much to do with the outside plants, but I did buy some seeds because I'm getting some flower fever right now. So hopefully it will warm up a little bit. I can clean out the little greenhouse that we have already established and start planting some seeds. We do have another greenhouse that we bought a couple of years ago that we've never quite put up, mostly because we weren't sure. We didn't want to just put it somewhere. So what we've decided to do is kind of go in and... start to clean up our garden area and make it a little flatter. And do you want to go on there?
For the peonies?
Yeah, so we're going to
last summer we had planted in the garden area we've had since we started here. We just gradually have expanded it on the hillside outside of the barn. Planted 2 pear and 2 peach trees and left space to build the greenhouse. I'm going to... Once it warms up a little bit, level it out. We have 2 cypress trees right above, so I want to be careful when we're leveling it. I don't want to hit the roots. I want to keep those trees healthy. So we'll put some gravel down to, or pea stone eventually, and build it out. And that should like kind of be the foundation for our garden here on out.
Yeah, and so...
And we're still using the greenhouse we built up on the front.
Yeah.
Of the barn.
And then the other thing is, and we're going to get to it in a minute with the products, but we'll have 2 additional flower boxes that we can move down there.
Yeah.
Because as we move to, want to do products before we do pick-me-ups?
Yeah, I'll do I'll pick up the pick-me-ups after.
Okay. So one of the products that we have is we actually pulled the trigger and...
I think we talked about it in the September episode, so you'll hear about it.
Yeah, we ended up putting a porch on, so.
Yeah, we've been, like, the front of the house just was...
ugly.
Yeah, it just had a portico above the door?
Yeah, it was hideous, yeah.
And it just, Kelly did a lot with laying down a stone walkway, et cetera, but it's just, and we talked to some folks and everything was too expensive. So we've been saving up and finally, we tried to do an addition on the house and it just, like, the things we wanted to do for a few hundred square feet were going to cost an extreme amount of money. And then no one was interested because it wasn't a big enough project. And there's so much work around this area that they just aren't picking up small projects. So we went to a decking company, a couple of them, and some of the pricing came in too high. But we found one that we really liked, Sunburst.
Yeah, it wasn't the lowest, but...
It wasn't the highest either.
Nope.
But we liked the work that they've done and... lot of other projects that they showed us.
And the salesperson, B.
Oh, yeah, B, yeah.
He was great.
And then the team's been great. The carpentry's all done.
Oh, my gosh. It was so cold. I can't even believe that they were up there working on it. And they even rolled out the tin roof when it was, like, 2 degrees out.
Oh, even before that, though, they had to, because it's the porch and following all the, after everything's submitted to the county, it has to meet, like, the post holes right by the house had to be 6 feet down, I think.
Oh, my and then gosh.
The front part of the deck had to be 3 feet. So, I mean, and just using a post hole digger in cold soil, it would have killed me to do. And just they had to do 8 posts and did great. I mean, and it's super solid. It's like when we could see as they were putting the post into the ground and then building the deck and then putting the post above. Even the inspector that came in from the county said, like, this thing is going nowhere. It's like super solid. And then had the carpentry all done, and then the storm was coming in. And so B and Mason, our project manager, reached out and said they wanted to get the roofers out because it's a flat roof, which essentially it's not extremely sloped, but it has enough of a slope to get water off. But they were putting tin. We'd ask for tin on it. So they got the team of 2 roofing guys out on the Saturday. The storm was coming in later in the day and got it on. It's terrific. It really worked out well. So that same day, we had been looking, we'll talk about it when we get to poultry. In the September episode, we talked about getting new chickens, and then we have additional chickens in addition to that. So we had some of the chickens in the barn and needed some additional space and had been looking locally. There's a woman that has chicken coops that are built by the Amish, and we finally pulled the trigger and decided that day right before the storm, and they said they could deliver that day. So the roofers finished up, the husband of the woman came out, I worked with him to position the coop, and we're glad that we did get it positioned in before the storm because it's been frozen since. And so we were able to get the chickens out of the barn and have some heating lamps in there, and they've done quite well with it. So we'll tell you a little bit about the chickens here in a second. The other thing on the product side I wanted to mention is, as I've gotten older, I need readers. And I had 2 pair. I'd gone locally to get my vision checked with Kelly 2 years ago, and I just kept losing, or I kept misplacing where they were. So I ended up going, got an ad for Warby Parker with, like, you could get 2 that low, like, discounted. And I've been extremely happy with them. So you just have to get your prescription over to them. And then it's like under $100, you get a nice pair of glasses. Yeah, that's worked out well. So
I've actually also done like a different company to get glasses just because I needed a cheap pair. And mine was ZEELOOL. Zolo?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's Chinese.
It is, definitely. But you know what? I got them fast and
they work.
And they work. So
yeah, I mean, to get another pair of readers was going to cost me like $350 we can't afford it. So Warby Parker came through.
And they look exactly like your other ones for the most part. So now he's ordering like 900
and he's going to
be like, I was like, why'd you get the same ones?
Yeah. Because they have my prescription tied. But yeah, now I can put them in the car. I can take them to work and I don't have to worry about not having them.
So we also had additional electrical work in the barn.
Yeah, you'll hear in the September episode, we'd had grounding done after the surge we had last summer. So we have a ground for the electrical box for the house and the one for the barn. And then worked with the same guy, Zach, and his team.
They did pull-down cords and stuff in the barn.
Yeah, in front of each of the stalls. Got a couple additional outlets outside. Got a light on light above the porch.
Motion center light.
Yeah, a
floodlight.
Floodlight. Yeah.
It's like charades now.
Yeah, precisely. So yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, and then the last thing, this is also a positive thing that hasn't happened since we've been here, but with the snow, we had some awesome neighborly coordination that happened. We have four lots. We've talked about this in the past. Lot one was away, and they were luckily weathering out the storm in California, lucky for them.
Yeah.
They had called and said we could put our cars up at their house if we needed to, because they're closest to
the main
state road. And then our lot two neighbor reached out and said, hey, I've had this snowblower since 2016, and it attaches the back of my tractor. Would you mind if I tried to do the driveway? And we were like, hell yeah, go for it. That's what you want to do. So then we
not just the driveway, but the entire road.
Yeah.
The lane.
And so we started a chat amongst the three lots, and we made agreements. It was like consensus on when we were going to do it. Lot two used his snowblower. I had my truck up at lot one. So when I went up later the next day to kind of assess the situation.
Yeah, start to dig out that.
I scraped a little bit off, but then reached out to lot four. And,
with the RUTV, the Kawasaki.
Yeah, and then reached out to lot four folks and was just like, I think it might need to go down just a little bit of layers because with some of the snowing, the snow got a little slippery. So then he went out with his John Deere. It's all got a heated cab. And he did additional scraping on the road, did not take the crown off.
That's what we've been trying to do for a number of years.
To
keep the crown intact.
And he was very smart and thoughtful about that. So so I think we have a good plan in place for the next snowstorm.
And I purchased a salt sand dispenser, and you can put salt in it too. But we had an issue getting it attached to our UTV, so we're going to use it in the future for storms. But so then we'll lay that down and give a lot more traction.
Yeah, indeed. And then luckily this year is the first year that the snow reflectors haven't been spun around
or removed
or whatever. So we have the snow reflectors out.
Which helps where the edge is.
Yes, definitely when we're plowing. So all is good there. We talked about the poultry a little bit.
Need to go back to pick-me-ups.
Oh, pick-me-ups, yeah.
So, a couple things. Why don't you talk about we have a Bailey's almond drink
vegan.
With coconut water that she likes. So it's Bailey's Irish Cream, but it's made with almond milk and
we love
it. So it's vegan, gluten-free. Yeah. So
it's nice and gluten-free, vegan. It's delicious.
Because of her allergies.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. We mix it with some coconut water, put a little cinnamon on it, and it's delish. Well, Bailey's has decided to expand some of their vegan products, and they have these two, coffee adders that you can do for, an Irish coffee of some sort.
Yeah.
And we tried out the two flavors. One was Oreo cookie, and the other one is toffee.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good.
I think we like the toffee better.
We do, but, for those of us that can't have real...
Yeah, no, it's really
good. It's really great, so highly recommend that. What about the margarine?
Yeah, so right before the holidays, we started to experiment. I was starting to want to try some things other than bourbon, so started to look at things with vodka, martinis. So we did I think our first one was a pear martini, which turned out great. 2 ounces of pear-flavored vodka, 1/2 ounce of ginger liqueur, 1 ounce simple syrup, and 1 ounce lemon juice, and then you can add a garnish, and it was terrific.
Yep.
And then we had gone to a restaurant a couple years ago that made a Palma Mama martini, which pomegranate and had some orange liqueur in it as well. So we found a recipe for that, which was good. The one we really liked was just a straight pomegranate martini, which is 1.5 ounces vodka, 1/2 ounce of triple sec, which is kind of the orangey taste, 1 ounce regular pomegranate juice, and then a splash of lemon juice. And holy cow.
It was delicious.
We had those during the holidays, and Kelly's parents like them. We like them. So the pomegranate martini was the winner. But the pear martini is worth it as well.
Yeah, definitely. So that's on the pick-me-ups. For the poultry, did you mention the extra chicks that we bought?
No, that's why chicks? I said that we have to get to that because we, in the September episode, we talk about the first 6 chicks that Kelly had a weak moment, and I was able to exploit the breach and get additional chicks out of that.
Exactly.
But then Kelly had another weak moment and found some lavender Orpington chicks at Southern States.
So cute.
And again, she left the door open, so we got...
Well, you're just supposed to get
We got two Wyandottes and 2 brown Sussex. And you like the brown Sussex.
The brown Sussex are the sweetest out of all of them. But the positive news on that all, the first set of chicks with my olive eggers
are
actually producing olive eggs. Yay!
It's awesome.
So we have, I'm not sure who's laying what. Maybe the Americanas are also laying different eggs.
Yeah, I think
colors. But we have like lavender. We have not lavender at all. I don't know why I say lavender. We have olive. We have white. We have blue.
And green.
And green.
So there are such things as green eggs.
And ham. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. So it'll be interesting to see what our lavender Orpingtons are going to lay. Because I think the other two do brown.
Yeah, I think the brown Sussex will be brown. I don't know about the Wyandottes.
And then Pat is still laying.
Yeah, so we're getting a solid egg every day from Pat. Like, I mean, full size. It's interesting because the pullets, which are young hens.
Yeah.
Their first eggs are like small kind of quail eggs.
Yeah.
And I looked it up. I was kind of like, should I eat these? And Kelly said, yeah, you can eat them. So I confirmed. I always confirm whatever Kelly tells me.
Yeah, he never believes me. And I'm always right. So, you know.
98% of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were good. So they'll get bigger. Yeah. But yeah, so now we're going to have to start giving eggs away because we're going to have...
Too many eggs.
Probably at least 10 a day.
Yeah, and of course... Kevin's the only one here that can eat eggs.
Yeah. So.
And then the last thing that we're going to talk about today is the putty cats. So we don't have much to talk about on the cats aside from the fact that the last episode that you'll hear, I had mentioned that Tess had become feral. Well, Tess decided he was not feral anymore. It was too cold to be feral. So he is in the tack room.
But talk about like when he came back in one day, we just happened to be watching, which was good. And Artemis was a complete raging lunatic with him.
Oh yeah, Artemis is awful, hissing at him
and then she's batted at him. So I
you put her in her place.
I gave her the what for.
Yeah, you were like, what are you doing? And she was like, but yeah, Persephone's always awesome, but she's got some matting on her back that we have to figure out how to get that off.
She gets like sap or something on her fur.
Yeah, and then Tessie decided to move back in, which is good. There's harmony. We have the heat on in the tech room, so they're not too cold. But one morning, all the cats were in the tech room, and I heard meow, meow, meow. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on here? And then all of a sudden, I went up to the hayloft, and I heard meow, meow. And I looked, and there was this almost looked fake black cat. I mean,
she was visited by a spirit.
Yes, he was pitch black. With these like really big eyes and followed me around, meowing away, even let me pick it up. And then he was never shown back up again.
And he accidentally scratched Kelly, and ever since she's been developing whiskers and ears.
Became Catwoman. And then she
fights crime.
I was all excited because I was like, oh, I'm going to have my black cat because I wanted a solid black cat. But nope.
Never showed up again.
Never showed up again.
But it was super docile.
Yeah, fun, playful. Yeah. I did reach out to some people to make sure it wasn't their cat.
Yeah.
But not that. So that's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
Now I'm going to bundle up and go suffer out in the tundra and muck stalls.
Got to muck and get some
shavings today.
Oh, well.
I know, on that note. Well, it was great to chat with you all.
All right. We'll get the September one posted and get this posted and try to do one more frequently.
We say that all the time, yeah, and it never happens.
So, but this is the latest.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Bye, talk to y'all. Bye.